Hey guys, this is Jim Cox, and I'm here today with an interview with Sharon Wilson. She's with a group called Oilfield Witness, and I'd followed some of her work on Facebook in terms of raising awareness of fossil fuels. So Sharon, thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Sure, James, happy to. I think we connected through LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your taking the time to chat and to kind of share your background and your experience. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in terms of dealing with these issues around fossil fuels?
Oh boy. So I got involved because I moved out to the country to get away from everything. I bought 42 acres in Wise County, Texas. And at the time I didn't know that, that's where the father of fracking, George Mitchell, was experimenting to learn how to frack oil and gas from shale rock. So I had worked in the oil and gas industry for about 12 years and decided that their ethics and mine were not compatible, but I didn't know anything about the environmental impacts of oil and gas until I moved right out in the middle of it in Wise County. And at first, I would see these towers of lights in the distance, and they were, you know, I didn't know what they were, and I noticed they moved around and they were moving closer. And so one day I drove to the one of these towers during the daytime. I was able to find it and I found a drilling rig. So I parked on the side of the road and watched them. And I was pretty horrified by what I saw, but I couldn't see everything because there was a dirt berm around the site. And so I went home and got a ladder, set up a ladder in the back of my truck, and climbed on the ladder and took pictures. They didn't like that too much, but I was able to see that they had dug a big pit in the ground. And that's where they were dumping a lot of oily, slimy liquid stuff. And the pit was not lined. So I was horrified about that because I had a new water well. Mm. So I started watching these sites. The lights, the towers of lights got closer and closer. They drown out our stars that we really enjoyed the stars. I could go outside and look at the Milky Way at night. And it was one of our main forms of entertainment. You know, my son and I would study the constellations during the day and drive the truck out in the middle of the pasture at night and, you know, have popcorn, and he had a Coke and I had an adult beverage, and we would just watch the stars, listen to the coyotes. It was just paradise. Mm. But as these towers of lights moved closer and closer, and then pretty soon they were really close, like a quarter of a mile away from me, I witnessed some pretty alarming things. I wasn't sure what was happening at first. And one day I drove home and this slimy grayish green liquid was flowing across the gravel road to my house, and it was running down the side of the road and into a little creek, Rush Creek, that flows into Denton Creek, and then Denton Creek flows into Lake Grapevine. So that was really concerning to me because what is in this stuff? But eventually I figured out that they were fracking. and I figured out what fracking was, and I just started researching it all. Pretty soon, maybe in a couple by a couple of years, my air had turned brown, and then one day my water turned black, and that was one of the worst days of my life. So
How long ago was that?
it was in the early 2000s, and I was in a lot of despair after the water turned black. It did, water underground flows. It moves too at a much slower pace than on the surface, but eventually my water did clear up. But I never felt like drinking it again. I had to buy a filter, and so I was pretty much in despair. I had already started a blog where I was posting pictures and videos of what I would see and the research I was finding, and my audience grew. A lot of other people came and asked for help, but after that happened with my water, I didn't do anything for a couple of months because it was a real paradigm shift for me, because I grew up watching TV and I would see these disasters, and the helicopter would come and they'd drop down a line and somebody would, rescue the people on the boat before it drowned, and they'd pull them up and get them on the helicopter, or just whatever the disaster was, the Red Cross was coming. And what I learned is that if it's oil and gas, nobody comes. And that was a pretty devastating thing for me to learn about the American dream and what I had created out here. So I was in despair for a while, but then I realized that the best way to help me get out of that inertia was to help other people. This was happening to other people, and even though there wasn't a lot I could do, I could at least be there for them and try to help them through this process. So my blog eventually became a very popular blog, and I learned about open records requests, which are very, very handy. And I did open records requests to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality because they regulate the air from oil and gas. So I got all of these videos, and I watched these videos, and it was bizarre because you would see what looked like a normal oil and gas site with tanks and steel and stuff on it. And then all of a sudden it would flip and it would be in gray and gray tones. And all of this, what looked like smoke, would be coming from these tanks. Now, the industry had been telling us that they don't pollute, there's nothing coming from the tanks. If you're feeling sick from something in the air, it must be something in your home. It could be the Windex you're using. It could be the candles you're burning. It's not us. So here I had this magical thing to prove, well, it is them. So I had
So
to.
what was the gas coming up?
It was methane. It's
Methane.
methane and volatile organic compounds. And even if they're drilling for oil, there's going to be associated gas with it. And as the methane comes up, it brings with it volatile organic compounds. And one of those is benzene, toluene, ethyl benzene, xylene, ethane, pentane, all kinds of stuff comes with it. And some of it is very harmful to human health. And so, of course, people were getting sick. They put these things right in their backyards. But I had to get my hands on that technology. So by then I was working for Earthworks, and I just pestered them nonstop for 2 years until they started fundraising to get an optical gas imaging camera. And they got one, and I got certified, got a certification, and started making. I started all over. I went everywhere, all over the U.S., even to other countries, making the invisible oil and gas pollution visible.
So it's interesting that the Department of Environmental Protection in Texas had the proof of the pollution, and yet I assume they didn't do anything about it. Is that correct?
You know, they did some regulating, but, you know, it's a captured agency.
Yeah.
There are some good people who work there who want to make a difference, but, you know, that they are, they're kind of hogtied, so there's not a lot they can actually do. But I started getting this documentation and proof that these facilities were polluting, and I would give it to the people who were impacted, give it to the communities to advocate for themselves. And also, I started using this documentation in complaints. And so I learned that there was a higher level of complaint you can make to the state. It's called a complaint with evidence. So I submitted this evidence. Didn't really make much difference, but it has created a huge record showing that the state is failing on so many levels. They are failing. And really, it's not just the state, it's the federal government too.
I know that there were calls, especially during the Obama administration, to restrict and track methane releases, but I'm sure that was done away with during the Trump administration. Has that kind of caught new life with the Biden administration, or is that still on the back burner, so to speak?
No, the EPA just released new methane rules. And I haven't, you know, I've read some information about them, but it's a 1600 page document. So it's going to take a while to wade through it. But what I can tell you is rules are just words on paper. It takes enforcement. It takes very strong enforcement to make an impact on the industry. And no state in the United States has the capacity to adequately regulate this industry. The industry is everywhere. Every state has far too many oil and gas wells and far too few investigators. So even if you have a state that's not captured, which all of our state agencies are captured, but even if there was a way to motivate them to really try to regulate oil and gas, they don't have the capacity. It's not realistic. Now, we do have the satellites right now that are able to see. A satellite generally is not looking everywhere, so sometimes they're going to miss things. Some of the satellites cannot tell who it was, who's responsible for the emissions. They just know they happened. So that is encouraging. But here's the way I feel about some of that stuff. Monitoring is great, but they've been monitoring the oil and gas industry in one form or another for decades. That has stopped zero emissions. I mean, methane levels are still skyrocketing. And the only way, you know, the industry has invented technology. They say this technology is going to capture the emissions. I have ample proof that the technology fails all the time. So they call it best available control technology. And the best available control technology for oil and gas to stop the methane is to keep it in the ground.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. Well, I'm sure you know, but I'm in the state of Pennsylvania. And, you know, you were talking about state agencies being compromised or co-opted. And, you know, we have a Democratic governor. We have a Democratic House. And yet we still see this kind of abuse that goes on in terms of oil companies being able to get away with stuff, and being that fracking is so big in the state of Pennsylvania, and you wonder, like, what exactly does it take to have legislators, you know, act responsibly? And I'm not quite sure. I thought when we elected a Democratic governor, we would have some sort of a change, but that doesn't seem to be the case, sadly.
Well, I think Pennsylvania does better, like, than Texas. Better than New Mexico. But, you know, none of them do a good job. Like, in Colorado, they announced several years ago that they had stopped all routine flaring. Or maybe they said they stopped all flaring. I can't remember. It's not true. What they did is they got combustors. So the combustors have a metal tube around them. The flame is down low, and it's supposed to combust the methane and the volatile organic compounds. But if you look on the website, some of these combustors will say it's an enclosed flare. Still a flare. And, yeah. And then they will say that the flare is 95 to 98% effective. And in little tiny print, it'll say, if operated optimally. Well, they're never operated optimally because we find them polluting horrendous amounts all the time. But Colorado still says, well, we don't have any flaring. And if you send them a video of this enclosed flare that is polluting, they will say, can't be pollution because they operate 95 to 98% effectively. And, you know, there's proof, video proof that this is pollution. And they're saying, yeah, it's not pollution. It's really crazy.
It's further denial of science and reality. You know, that's insane. But it gets to a point where there have to be consequences for not operating things optimally, you know? And what do we have to do to get to that point, you know?
I don't know what we have to do. We need a lot more pushback from the public. But I think the public is still very confused because there's been decades of propaganda, you know, just showered onto the public. And so when they think, well, what can we do about fossil fuels? Well, I guess we need some more of that clean energy, natural gas. And so, you know, the industry has done a good job. They have very deep pockets to spend an endless amount of money. And the media does not do a good job. I mean, the New York Times, it was recently it revealed that they have a marketing team that actually helps the oil and gas industry put ads in their paper, misleading ads. So while their climate reporting is pretty good, then they turn around and assist the oil and gas industry in still putting forth propaganda. And this has gotten to be a very serious problem in the United States because the number one greenhouse gas polluter in the world is the Texas Permian Basin. Not China, not Russia, Texas, the Permian Basin in Texas. And that is per ClimateTrace. So they use satellites, they use all kinds of modeling, they use peer-reviewed science and some AI to come up with, which areas, geographical areas, are the worst polluters. And it's Texas. So we need President Biden to step up. He needs to declare a national climate emergency. And with that, I hear people all the time when I say Biden needs to step up. Well, there's nothing he can do. He can't do anything because of Congress. Oh, yes, he can. He has executive powers. And if he declares a national climate emergency, those executive powers are expanded. And then he can do things like divert money, some of the tax dollars that we give to oil and gas, he can divert that to renewable energy. He can deny permits for new LNG terminals for some of the big projects that are coming up. He could reinstate the crude oil export ban. In 2015, Congress overturned the crude oil export ban, and then that is what allowed the Permian Basin to grow because the crude oil produced in the Permian Basin is light sweet crude, and we don't have refinery capacity for that crude, so it has to be exported. Reinstating the crude oil export ban and banning LNG exports, it would save us. It would stop, it would re vastly reduce the amount of methane going into the air. Methane is a climate accelerant. It is over 86 times more powerful than carbon dioxide. It is the low-hanging fruit in saving humanity. Because if we stop the methane, it will have a very soon have an impact on climate. It will slow down this rapid warming. We might even get a little cooling. It will buy us time to do something about CO2. So that's what people can do. We need to put a lot of pressure on Joe Biden.
Completely agree. What are you still, so you're still living in Texas? Are you still living in the same house that you kind of came to this realization in?
No, I moved from there. I moved to Denton, and I thought I would be safe living in a city. And immediately they started fracking all over Denton. And then I moved to Collin County, which is one of the few counties in Texas that does not receive revenue from oil and gas. But they only had a very small water reservoir, and they were building out. They just kept building like mad. These multi-family places, just everywhere they were building, and I could see my water bill went up and up and up, and they were water rationing. And I thought, man, that this area does not have a good plan. So I moved to Dallas.
Gotcha. When you look back in terms of fracking and the chemicals used in fracking, what are some of those chemicals, and like what impact does that have on the water table, because I think that that's like a concern for a lot of people, but I've never seen it really enunciated as far as, because there's a lot of mystery as far as what the oil companies want to tell you what is actually in the chemicals that are used in the fracking.
Well, they can keep, they're supposed to disclose chemicals that are not proprietary on this website. I think it's called Frac Focus, maybe. But they can still keep secret some chemicals. Now we found out that recently Physicians for Social Responsibility put out a report. And in Pennsylvania and in Texas, they have used PFAS, forever chemicals in fracking. So those are showing up in the water and in the air. They use all kinds of harmful things. They use petroleum distillates. They use, naphthalene. Early on, a family called me and they said, "We know they're going to put a well on our property. What do we do?" And I said, "You need to go immediately, as fast as you can, get your water tested so you will have a baseline test." Most people don't know to do this. And so if you don't have a baseline test, you can't prove that the pollution was already there. So 6 weeks after fracking, they were having rashes and the fumes from their water was terrible. So they had a follow-up test and it had very high levels of MTBE. And that's an additive that they used to put in gasoline that is now banned. And so, people will argue with me and tell me that that can't be because blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? The lab called that family and they said, "We felt like we needed to call you. We didn't want to wait until you receive the lab results because your water is not fit for any purpose. If you have a fire, don't use your water to try to put it out. It will make it worse." So because they got that science and they got proof, and there was also a lot of air impacts, and I helped them get proof of that, they were able to sue the industry, and the industry settled with them. Apparently, they're not able to talk about it because they're under a gag order. In order to receive money so that they could move away from the danger that they were in and their child was getting sick, they had to agree to never talk about it again. And all they can say is that matter has been resolved. But I have all of their data and everything. And there are untold thousands of people in the United States who have signed non-disclosure agreements. All of their records, all of the science they got to prove oil and gas was harming them is sealed. No one can look at it, not the government, not scientists, not reporters. They cannot see what really happened in these cases. The only way that those can be overturned is a congressional review. So that needs to happen. I mean, this is public safety.
MTBE, was that the additive in the leaded gasoline that ended up with that being banned? Is that
It was an additive in gasoline. I don't know if it was the one that was in leaded gasoline or not, but I know it was in gasoline.
You mentioned gag orders for people. One of the other aspects that I think is pretty alarming is the fact that merely protesting at sites and what you would think would be your constitutional right to protest has been made illegal in a lot of states. What's your take on that?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, where did democracy go? How, you know, it's horrifying. We are, you know, the United States is guilty of colonizing other countries and creating horrible impacts there. The things that we've done in South America are just unforgivable, which is why a lot of people are migrating now, because of climate change and because of things that we have done. Now, our own industry, the oil and gas industry, really with the help of our government, is colonizing America. So we are colonized for oil and gas extraction.
It's not a pretty sight. It's not. It doesn't make one optimistic for kind of where things are headed. But clearly, there's things that can be done and that need to be done. And I think you've laid out a good list of advice for people kind of living in this age. If people want to learn more about the work that you do, how can they reach out to you, or how can they learn more?
Our website is oilfieldwitness.org. My email is Sharon@oilfieldwitness.org. I am on Twitter under Texas, just TX Sharon. And that's a good place to follow me. I'm also on Instagram. Oilfield Witness is on Instagram and Twitter. I'm on TikTok. Oilfield Witness is on TikTok. So we try to be everything, and people can, I mean, we try to be everywhere, and people can just reach out to us. And we'll talk to you.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the work that you do, and especially in terms of trying to pull people together to become more active and involved, because obviously that's what it's going to take. Like you said, it's going to take the public being involved in order to overcome the situation that's been created by kind of moneyed powers. So hopefully we can do that in the coming years and, you know, get back on a more positive track.
Yeah, we need to hurry up about it.
Yeah,
but
no doubt.
Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for what you do.
Nope, thank you. And again, I would love to talk again in the future and, you know, keep in touch with kind of what you see going on that as things evolve.
Yes.
All right.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.